Also looks bad on the live stream, so. Excellent. Kia whakatomuri te haere whakamua. It's kia whakatomuri te haere whakamua. It says, I walk backwards into the future with my eyes fixed on my past. I walk backwards into the future with my eyes fixed on my past. It's a whakatauki or a proverb that describes the importance of knowing what has gone before us and on whose shoulders we stand as we continue onward. And today is the 26th of June. I turn out I don't have enough space on here, anyway. 26th of June, 2022. Who knew that? That's good. Let's just test. Before us, before the 26th of June, 2022, lies the unknown. Years, decades, centuries, millennia. Behind us lies a long history that has shaped who we are today. Years, decades, century, millennia. Ahead of us lies the unknown. Again, years, decades, centuries, millennia. We don't know for how long goes before us. But there is a pathway before, and there's a pathway that we are on that's come behind us. Now, earlier this week, Colleen wrote in the paper plane, and again, as Colleen said, if you aren't on the paper plane, it's our weekly church email. And again, sign up for that. That's fantastic to be able to get that information. A lot of information comes through there. You can also contact us through our online form on the website if you want to give details so that you can be on that list. But because I like to use Colleen's work as my own, I'm just going to share what she wrote in the paper plane just in case we didn't read it this week. And this is what she wrote. From the beginning of human history, mankind has both recognized the existence and majesty of our Creator God and looked for signposts as to how to shape worshipful lives by looking at the wonders of the universe. We see this today in the many movable feasts celebrated by different peoples and cultures around the world, the Christian calendar included, and that is why we see the date of Easter changing each year. It's based on certain celestial rhythms. And Matariki is a movable feast as well. The rising of Matariki, or Pleiades, marks the change of the seasons, the time to harvest. It signals a time of reflection on things past, just as plans are made for the future. A time of gathering together in community as well as remembering those who have passed since the stars have last risen in our skies. The rhythms of life based on what was observed in the created space of the Creator God. And as Colleen read earlier, he who made the Pleiades and Orion, a Pleiades is another, is the term for Matariki, who turns midnight into dawn and darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is his name. And she wrote this last week, as we turn our eyes to the skies this coming week, which has just been, in anticipation of the rise of Matariki, I encourage you to take the time to wonder on creation and in turn wonder on the revealed Creator. And I wonder what dreams he is stirring up inside of you. And I pray that he continues to reveal his perfect plan for you, to reveal how your story fits inside his big story, because there's room for all. Did you know that as we sit here today, our story is contained inside this book? Who is aware of that, that our story is embedded inside this book? Anybody? No? Yeah, we're aware. I saw some nods. Christ is not some past event that ended on a hillside outside of Jerusalem. The church is not something that happened way back then and ceased to be either. Now, Jesus expressed his vision throughout his life and ministry. And he laid down a mission to his followers. He painted a picture of what could be and what will be, not just what could be, what will be to come. And then he laid down a mission to his followers through both his life, ministry, and the commission, the great commandment to us. Now, as you know, as some of you know, I do like to develop plans. I like strategies. I like vision statements. I like really meaningful statements that can really help us to sharpen our focus and to bring focus to what we do as a church or as organizations as well. And I imagine that if Jesus had a vision statement, if he was to write his vision statement, hand it out to people, I think we get a pretty good, clear picture inside Scripture of what it would be. It'd be something like this. The kingdom of God established fully. That for me is the vision that Jesus painted. And then he described what that vision was. He described what the kingdom of God looked like. He described wholeness and healing and acceptance and love and perfectness and peace and renewal. The kingdom of God established fully. His whole teaching was focused around that. Now, a vision is a great thing, but you also need to how to get towards that vision. And I would say if Jesus had a mission statement, it might be something like, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to love mercy, to do justice, and to walk humbly before their God. That's the mission. That's what he set out to do. He created disciples, right? Jesus made disciples. The church made disciples. At Pentecost, which we celebrated a few weeks ago, disciples were made of all nations. People were drawn in, scattered out, and that mission started to take effect. The kingdom of God was like yeast being worked through the dough. It has started to work throughout the world. The mission of Jesus started at that moment and has continued on to this day. Since that moment, Jesus commanded the people around him to go and preach and demonstrate his kingdom and cry out to God for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the story that we are living right now, alongside billions of others. That story was being written when Jesus was speaking those words. Our story was being written. We were part of that story. We are part of that story. Generations upon generations upon generations have gone before us and then laid down the challenge to us to continue to be part of God's big story. This picture here kind of represents in linear form God's big story, starting at creation through to the fall, through to God's promise to Abraham, through to the rescue, the exodus of the Israelites and the rescue from slavery and the forming of a new nation, into the establishment of his temple, to exile, to Jesus then coming, represented by the cross. And then that's when our big story really kicked off, making disciples of all nations, culminating in the end in the renewal of all creation. And those who have gone before us being raised back to life to be part of that new and renewed creation. We too now take up the challenge. And it's up to us now to run with that challenge until we too have no more breath. And when we too shall lay down the challenge to the next generation. We have generations here ranging from newborn right through to the last days of life for many of us. And that will continue. Those people will grow and become old and pass on and leave to the next generation. All of us here are part of a journey and part of a story from the youngest through to the oldest. And we will continue to lay down the challenge, and the next generation will continue to lay down that challenge until that day when Christ shall return and we shall be raised to join him in living out his kingdom fully established in a renewed earth where all things have been put right. Whether that's in a year, a decade, a century, a millennium, or more, I often wonder, we often get a bit caught up sometimes, and Jesus is coming back right now. Now, if Jesus had come back when previous disciples and generations had really wanted him to come, I wouldn't be part of the story. So I'm kind of glad to be here. I'm not too eager for Jesus to come back next week or next year. Because what about the future generations that miss out? And that's a mystery that wows me. I go, God, you know, I want to see it, you return and to fully establish, but actually I want you to bring in more people into your kingdom. I want it to be an abundant, thriving earth. So I'm kind of glad he hasn't come back before now, because I might have missed out. Anyway, that's another story to ponder on. But you right here today, as an individual, us here as a church, you are unique and you have a unique value, and you're a valued link in God's big story, this big story here. You're a key part of it. You're not a mistake. You are here as a unique and valued link in this big story. The story that he is calling you to, calling us as a church to, and us as his body in Christchurch to, and us as his body in New Zealand, and us as his body in the whole world to join with us, join with him in. It's both individual, corporate, local, global. It's a huge story. But what's our part, our small part in God's big story? And I spent some time this week reading through the story of the founding of our church on this site. Both Colin and I enjoy looking back at what has gone before to kind of inform where we are now. Because nothing that we're about to do is really, we assume that if God has called us into this place as a generation of people, what God called the past generations to, that story is still being written to this day. So I want to know what that story was. So we've got a few people here. I think Pamela was heavily involved in writing this book, The Founding of Papanui Baptist Church, which is kind of the first decade of the story of Papanui Baptist Church. But what impressed me the most was the vision and the collaboration that took place to give us this place to stand, right here at 144 Sawyer's Arms Road. A piece of land that was slated for development, but which was still largely old fields and orchards. It was almost empty. It was anticipation of a future community that would be there, this community that we see around us today. Did you know that it was the Canterbury Westland Baptist Association, which is still in operation today, we're still a part of, that drove this church plant and made it happen? Did you know that all the other six Baptist churches in the time contributed significantly to ensuring that this church was established and that there was something here for this community, which didn't even exist yet? They didn't know what the shape of this community would be. They just knew that there would be people here that would need Jesus and would need love and would need care and support. Did you know that the focus was on serving children and families, and that the number of children and youth far outstripped the number of adults for most of the first decade? So 6 years into its kind of inception, it had the largest children's program among Baptist churches, with 245 children. 245. And it was one of the only ones with a youth program. It's no mistake that youth still remains a massive focus of both church and also engagement in the Papanui area. I think they had something like, there was something like around 25, 30 members sometimes, and then there was 70 kids all scrammed into the church. And these were children from the community, from families who often didn't come to church as well. So we're still continuing that kind of theme to this day. The purpose and planting of this church was strategic. It was focused on providing for this community in the Papanui North and Northcote area. It was focused on children and youth and families. Its members scraped and saved, and when they exceeded their space, they scraped and saved and begged some more to pay for facilities. Does that sound familiar? We're carrying on that tradition as well. The descriptions of the lengths they went to in order to obtain and then pay back various types of loans, and of their forward thinking to meet the needs of their community of the time, is a really great read. They didn't always get it right, but they seemed to always keep moving. Their missional activities were very broad and sought to meet the needs of the community, both practically, socially, and spiritually. That same spirit on which we were founded continued on as other leaders and members took up the challenge, and it continues to this day. We are part of an ongoing story. There are people in our church family who were there in the very early days, and again, Viv and Ferg being among those, our earliest members there. How long have people been here? Who's been here since the 60s? Anyone from the 60s? Sam. 70s? Anyone from the 70s? Wow. So we've got 70s. 80s? Mike, I'm starting to get a few more. Oh, yeah, me too. 80s, 89. 90s? 2000s? 2010s? 2020s? A few people, yeah. Of the first Reverend Doug Salthouse, it was said he was a popular young pastor, tireless and soul-winning, and with a particular emphasis on young people and those who are on the fringe, which I think is pretty cool. And in 1963, four women were appointed as deaconesses who had a defined pastoral role in the church. The church has led the way on some pretty significant developments. The founding minister, Reverend E.T. Jones, said in 1964, nearly 60 years ago, and 10 years after he had started, really kind of pushed things rolling, he said, "Then we put up our little building. But who shall despise the day of small things? Be blessed of God that many a one will be able to testify in the days to come that they owe their salvation to the faithful witness of the Papanui North Baptist Church." And so having looked back now at those who have gone before us, that great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews talks about, we too walk into the future with our eyes firmly fixed on our past, seeing our future through the eyes who have gone before, and through the eyes of Jesus Christ, the one whom we serve, who is the one constant throughout this whole journey. We are here, and we carry a great legacy. We aren't here by mistake. We may have a leaky roof, and our carpet may be a little less magnificent than it was. But we are here by God's design for this community. And so today marks the day that we as a church lay down another section of our road, ready for our part in God's big story. Last year we began a process to explore as a church who we were, or who we are, where we are, and where we are going during Camp at Church Month. Who was here? Who participated in at least one of those kind of things? The sand boxes, remember the sand trays that we played around with as well? The results of, we gathered something like 700 statements out of that time. And of the results of that, plus additional research into what's happening in our community, and prayer, and conversation with a lot of people, as well as discussions with those that we partner with, we then all pulled together and taken into our elders' retreat weekend back in April, where we wrestled and meditated and discussed and even debated vigorously the way forward. What was God saying through all of these things that came out of our church family? And over the last couple of months, we've pulled that together into sharper focus to the point where we, the leadership and the elders, are now ready to come back to the church and present our draft of where we believe that God is leading us. And we really want this journey to be one where we have all had a voice and an opportunity to speak. We're not just going to bring this back and say, this is how it is, this is where we're going. What we want to do, we've taken what we've heard, we've shaped it and formed it, the role that you've given us as a church to do, and now we're bringing it back. So starting next week, we're going to be beginning this discussion by releasing what we are calling the Great Journey. Te Haerenga Nui, the Great Journey. Which lays out our proposed vision, mission, values, foundational beliefs, pathways down which we are going to walk, and even some of the first goals that we want to start moving towards. For nearly 2 months over July and August, there's going to be opportunity to explore and discuss this in small groups, in church services, in grow nights. We're going to have a couple of evenings where people can come and talk through things. It's important that what we define as our direction is what this whole family has discerned. We are a priesthood of all believers. God is saying some really cool things to each and every one of us. It's important that we agree and we come together and we say, this is where we are heading as a church. Because like those who founded this church community here, this building, this family, it will require commitment, sacrifice, investment, energy, and a willingness to both grow and to help to grow others. So just for today, I'm going to finish off by reading something that was written as a guiding narrative as we went into our elders' retreat, something to help us shape where we were, how we were going to approach that weekend. And I've called it, again, The Great Journey. I'm just going to read it out. If you close your eyes and just listen to these words. This is the opening statement of, if you see the document, you get a chance to read it. This is the opening statement. There is a broad ocean surrounding us, and we are called to set out on a journey towards a land we have been told about, a land that as yet we can only imagine. We've been given a mission to discover this imagined land, and we've been given everything we need to embark on the journey. So we build our waka. We set our rudder in place. We identify our guiding star, and we determine the direction in which we will go. And we identify waypoints. We gather our people, and we create opportunities for them to participate, to serve, to steward, to mentor, to navigate, and to guide according to their gifts. We create strong and watertight storehouses, and we gather our resources. We create ways for even more people to join us on our journey, to expand our waka, to build strength and community. We equip everybody because we believe every person can be a valuable contributor. We make our community as diverse as possible, for we know that we will need that diversity to fulfill our mission. And then we go. So, we are inviting you to join us on this great journey. And our hope is that you will be able to see yourself and your place in this waka, a place where you can stand and can contribute and can grow in faith and love and in service to others. A place where we can grow those who will eventually take over us from us and carry the baton and steer the ship for generations to come. So we're going to just move into a time of prayer now. We have our wailing wall, our prayer wall that we have put up here. For those who are new here, what we're doing is we're putting up a statement, something that we would like to be prayed for. And then for a period of 12 weeks, 3 months, we're about a month into it now, we'll come back and we will pray and look at what we've written and we will pray for that thing. And then we will look at, we can look at other people's prayers and find another one to pray for that prayer, whether we understand what it fully means. God does. We can pray for that. And if we see the hand of God at work in those places where we have prayed, then we can go and write those up. We're slowly starting to fill up that paper at the back. But today what we would like to do is just also, as we do this, look around. I'm sure there are people that are grieving as well, for Viv, for Ferg. Find someone to pray for. If you don't want to go to the wall, find someone to sit next to and pray for. Just say, how can I pray for you today? So we're going to take about 5 minutes now just to spend some time doing that. So either with each other or going up to the wall as well. Thanks.